Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest, Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Hello, my witchy poo. How the hell are you? Every time. It works every time, people. I know you've noticed that. It's not fake. It's like literally every time.
Just very entertaining to me. I'm great. How are you?
You know, I think one of my purposes in life is actually to entertain you. So.
It's very entertaining to me.
Yeah.
Bless you for that.
Thank you. I'm doing fine, by the way. In fact, I'm doing great. So thank you for asking.
I'm so glad.
Yes, I'm doing fantastic. The weather's starting to get nice again.
That counts.
So that's, yeah, new season. But it brings bugs, but that's okay. Which falls into this, why does evil exist? Right?
Nice segue.
Fucking bugs, man. The nice bugs. They are evil. They really are.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. So listen, we say this all the time. We love y'all, our listeners. We love that you engage with us. We love your questions.
We sure do. Some of the greatest questions. Some of us are like, ooh. Really good question. Yeah. Just make us laugh.
right.
And you know you're making us laugh because you wrap it up in all this funny stuff. We love it. But the title of this episode really was one of the questions that came in, right? And we've heard it a couple different ways, but basically, why does evil exist?
And you know, this is so my jam. I love this question.
Well, yeah, of course. If there wasn't evil, you would be out of a job.
Right? I mean, for real. Yes. What does a Black Panther do without evil?
Exactly. Defense against the dark arts, baby. That too.
I would be bored and out of spiritual work.
We cannot have a bored panther. There's no good. That's no good.
No. But here's why I love this question.
Okay.
I love this question because I would in turn answer it with another question.
Okay.
Don't you like that? It's like, wait, let's just start it out by being shitty because nothing can piss you off more than when you ask a question, somebody answers it with a question. But here's a question that I would answer it with, which is, why are there tests in school?
Are you saying that the tests are evil or what are you saying?
Well, it's kind of like, why does evil exist? Then it's like, well, why do tests in school exist? No, I am saying that for that reason is that I think, you know, one of the reasons that evil actually does exist is because we find out who we are in those moments.
Well,
right?
And truly, without some contrast, we wouldn't know what it is we've learned or what it is we know. We need, right, the contrast to show our expansion, to show that we've learned. So you can call it tests because that's absolutely appropriate. But, right, so we need the contrast as we're working to expand or learn something. We're focused on the light. We have something dark comes in. We're like, whoa, right, now I can apply what I've learned or it illuminates what I don't know.
Right.
So I've just laid out more coursework in Earth School.
Wait, of course you did.
That's how I think of it.
Why wouldn't you? But you have always said that it's never a mistake to be tested.
No, I mean it's a gift to be tested. Absolutely. And you know, you've had many tests. I've had many tests. And we know our listeners have because we get to hear about some of them.
Oh my gosh! Right.
So good. Yes, and so it's not like, oh, I've done something wrong. I'm tested. It's like, oh, I'm expanding, and I'm ready. Right. You know, to learn more about what I need to learn more about.
So I mean, there was a period of time where, I mean, it might have been probably a 2-year, pretty intensive time. I would get a hold of you and tell you some crazy ass. And you know, incredible or incredibly weird or incredibly scary story of something that had happened. And every single time, what did you say?
You're being tested, my elf.
Exactly. Yeah. You're being tested, my elf. Oh. And I was being tested. Right.
And the tests guide you, right? It's not like, oh, pass, fail. They guide you. They inform you in a really helpful way.
They do. Mm-hmm. You learn a lot about yourself. And in fact, I have a feeling that you've had a tussle with what people would call evil.
Well, you know, we all get tested. And if you've taken my tarot class, you've heard this story before, I'm sure. But
I took your tarot class and I never heard this story.
Well,
so,
it's not always the same class. You know, I have to.
No, but like, don't say that kind of stuff because I had not heard that. Like, you're like, I'm sure you were talking on the phone the other day, everybody, just, you know, behind the scenes here. And she's like, I'm sure you've heard this story. And she starts to tell it. And I'm like, no, actually, I haven't.
Okay.
So now without further ado, you tell the story. I know. I love it. It's great. I know. It's fantastic. I love your stories.
So this is one way, you know, a test has shown up. Now, we get tested all the time in different ways. But it was the night before I was going to do my first psychic fair, right? So I had moved from where I lived in Dallas, where I had lots of friends and I read for dinner parties all the time. And I never had to read out in the world because I was everyone's favorite dinner guest, right? We'll read.
You got
food.
Free food.
It was really fun. It was great. And then I moved to Cincinnati where I didn't know anybody. And I was like, you know, I can't just walk around going, hey, you need a tarot card reading. Because that's.
You could, right. Technically, but right. Right.
Well,
go ahead.
We've established that is a party foul.
That is a party foul for sure.
So, you know, so I finally figured out I had to go do a psychic fair. And so, and it happened to be a weekend where one of my girlfriends was leaving town. She was being transferred with the company we worked for. And she was staying with me on her last weekend, which is great. And so we were at this party and I'm such a little nerd. I'm like, I'm going to go home early so I can get a good night's sleep because I have a big tarot day tomorrow. I'm such a little geek. And so I did. I went home, tucked myself in bed, and then I heard footsteps across the main floor in my apartment. And I thought, oh, my friend's home. And then I had my back to the bedroom door and I could feel energy that was not my friend. It was very dark and it was very heavy. And I was very scared because I realized that I was being tested to see if I would be available for the next, to do service for the dark side in the next day. And it was like a flash. It wasn't even something I had considered. It wasn't something that I was like, oh, I have to navigate this before I can go do my tarot. Like I wasn't aware of that, but instantly I knew. And the words that came out of my mouth. So this was not a silent prayer I said. I literally said it out loud. It says, I stand in the light of Christ and you can't touch me. And I felt the energy, it just dissipated, like melted, like the Wicked Witch of the West in The Wizard of Oz, like just melted and disintegrated into the ground. And then, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes later, Alita hit the door. My girlfriend hit, you know, came into the apartment and I was like, thank God you're home. I can't believe what just happened, you know, but I knew that I was tested and that I got the green light to go ahead and do my work the next day. Like that's what I wasn't worried, like, oh, tomorrow when I'm reading, I'm gonna have to protect myself double, triple because you know, da, da, da. No. The whatever energy will come to find you to test. Like, are you available to do this other work? And when you're convicted of what you know you want to do, it's never a problem. You're like, hey, thanks for checking. That's a hard pass. You
know, like, that's a big fat NO.
Yeah, exactly. Not going to happen. Keep looking.
How was the next day? How was it the day that you read?
Oh, that was, well, you know, so I was nervous, right? It was my first time reading out in the public in a big way. And like literally the first three readings I did, no one could hear me because I'm like, well, what do you think about this? And they're like, what? Because, you know, I wasn't ready. I'd never even been into a psychic fair. I didn't know that, you know, like people are all like you're reading on top of each other and screaming. And so anyhow, we had to get my act together. But the other thing I didn't know is when you have a schedule that people sign up for And I didn't mark out like, hey, I'm going to take a mid-morning break and refill my water. And, you know, I'm going to take a lunch break or I'm going to use a bathroom break. Like, I didn't know you had to block stuff out. So I read from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Like, I read.
No adult diapers?
You didn't have an adult diaper?
You didn't do like the road trip across America with adult diapers on?
If I had known about those, I would have probably not had the sense to do that. But, I just read all day. And then, because I didn't, there were so many things I needed to learn, like boundaries for myself. Like, I'm good with boundaries in spirit, but for my physical body, not as much. And so by the end of the day, when my final client got up and the fair is shutting down and people are, you know, readers are leaving, people are leaving, and I go to stand up, but because I had been reading for all those hours, all my energy was in my upper centers and I'm not in my body, right? Up in upper chakras. I was like, you know, high vibe. I go to stand up and my legs don't hold me. And I it looked like I passed out because I just fell right behind the table that I was reading. Like, I hit the ground so hard. It was insane. I was like, oh, I'm going to have to take a minute here and stand up.
Wow. So you got a lot of lessons from
that. I learned so many lessons, so many challenges.
but important, right? I mean,
totally important, totally valuable. Yeah.
Yeah, you had like a cascading effect of lessons from that encounter with that boogeyman.
Well, and it was, you know, it was just a challenge. But once I realized what it was, because I was like, that it's not normal for, you know, that dark spirit to enter into my home space. And it was so great to be given that prayer in the moment and be so secure in my response.
A great story.
Yeah.
And even the high vibe angels in human bodies like you have to deal with this.
Funny.
You know?
Yeah, it's all good.
All right, let's take a quick break.
Oh my God, and I love that.
I know, right? You're welcome.
We'll be right back.
Weight loss. It feels like a constant cycle, like my body's always working against me, pushing back on all of my progress. I learned that anytime I lose weight, my body tries to gain it right back. Finally, I discovered it's not entirely my fault. I know healthy eating and exercise are important, but they may not be enough. So I talked to my healthcare provider about whether a prescription medicine could help me lose weight and maintain it. Together, we made a plan to tackle this, a plan to help lower my risk of future weight-related health issues like heart disease. Join me and make a change for the better. Talk to your healthcare provider about treatment options to manage your weight.
We're making lower emission vehicles our priority. Reusable packaging, our priority. And carbon capture research to offset emissions, our priority. Because Earth is our priority. At FedEx, we know sustainability means a lot to you. And we feel the same way. Our goal is to be carbon neutral by 2040. We call it Priority Earth. FedEx, where now meets next.
Welcome back from Julie's break.
We entertain ourselves so much here on the show.
Letting us do this.
Thanks for playing along, everyone. So I just want to go back and I really want to thank you for sharing that story, mainly because I tend to be the one known as the dark one. So it's nice to know that, you know, we can now come out with that. There are, you've had to kind of deal and tussle with some of these, you know, energies yourself.
Yeah. And it's, you know, absolutely. Happy to share many stories of epic fails. That was not a fail, though.
No, that was an epic success, actually.
It's just part of the process, though, really.
Yeah.
These tests are just part of a process.
It is. You know, I had one, and I know I've talked about it.
You've had many.
I've had a lot of them, but I will tell you, this one was I think, the one that was affirming who I am today.
Mm.
I mean, it was the one to get me where I needed to go. And I have talked about this before, but I'm going to talk about a couple other details in it.
But this is why we have to pay attention to our tests, because they can really be these guideposts. critical guidepost.
Oh, this one was huge.
Oh, great.
Huge pass. For sure. Me. So, you know, I've talked about my very handsome friend, Alex.
Yes, you may have mentioned.
My very handsome and straight friend, Alex, and his gorgeous wife and their beautiful children. And it's like, why can anybody be ugly? Because it's not fair. Like, they're just stunning human beings. So Alex was the one, when I first learned what sleep paralysis was and the HAP man, because he was the one who was so generous to open up to me about it. And that's when I really started studying, figuring things out. And at this time, when this event happened, I had already figured out black tourmaline would be a good thing for him.
Right.
And so he traveled a lot. And this particular night that he called me, he was in Seattle. And he...
which is not his home base.
Which is not, no. He was living in LA at the time. Right. And he was working in Seattle for like a few days. So he traveled. And so he called me and he's like... So, I forgot my black tourmaline. I said, you did? Oh. He said, yeah, oh. He goes, I saw the Hat Man again last night. And it had been the first time in a very long time that he had encountered the Hat Man. And I said, what happened? And he said, well, he said, he showed up and I decided to ask him a question. I said, oh, you did you? It's quite ballsy of you. He's like, yeah. And I said, well, did you ask his sign? I mean, what the hell did you ask him? And he's like, I said, who are you? I go, oh. And of course, I'm waiting for him to tell me that the response was, you know, because one of the things that I had read is the Hat Man, when somebody had asked him this before, that he would say, they call me Scratch, right? And Scratch is the name of the devil. Back in the days of Adam and Eve in the story of the Bible, when he tried to lure Adam and Eve away from God and to scratch them out of the Book of Life effectively. Mm-hmm. So I was waiting for that, right? I was waiting for Scratch. So Alex takes a deep breath. He goes, well, he goes, I think that his response was actually for you. It wasn't for me. I go, what? He goes, yeah. He said, and I said, well, what did he say? Because he said, exactly. He said, tell her. In this case, I'm the her. Tell her my name is Bob. Now, for those who read my book, Ron ain't my stepdad's name. It's Bob. So we're just going to come out with it. Simon Schuster is not in charge of this conversation. His name is Bob. And I have to say that I can't continue with the Ron bullshit anymore. So
I get it.
Yeah, he said, tell her my name is Bob. And I know exactly where I was sitting in our living room. I know exactly the position.
Still gives me chills.
Right? Still I was sitting there. Homer was laying next to me. Mm-hmm. And Suzanne's looking at me going, because she saw my face turn.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, if he shows up again, Alex, tell him he can go fuck himself. And that's from me. He goes, who's Bob?
Fair question.
I mean, right? Fair question. Who's Bob? It's like, why the response? Why does this evil thing talking to me about you and this some guy named Bob? And I said, well, Bob was my ex-stepdad who was very abusive in every way, shape, and form, except sexual, just for the record. And I said, I know what he was doing. I go, he tried to find my weakest point.
Yep.
And attack me and take me down at what he deemed to be my weakness. So anybody who doesn't think evil exists, re-listen to this fucking story. There was an entity communicating to a friend of mine to get to me. A dark entity communicating, right? Because he wanted me to leave Alex alone. He wanted Alex.
Yeah.
He was trying to scare my shit away from him, right? So this happens. I'm like, you know, tell him to go fuck himself. Kind of conversation.
He doesn't know you.
Oh, clearly the Hat Man had mistaken who he had stumbled upon.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and I'm going to just be really vulnerable in this situation. And just want to be really clear with everybody. Because this is a connection I have never talked about. So new news here, new info. There was a pretty good time in my life. I had fairly low self-esteem from growing up under the fist of this man. So I'm sure that part of that tactic, right, was like, go hit her vulnerabilities. And not just a vulnerability of like, oh, he, you know, he slapped me around a couple times or he was mean to me. Oh, no, 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 no. This man tried everything in his power to strip every ounce of self-esteem I could possibly have. And I spent a lot of time in therapy, a lot of shit to try to like overcome some of that stuff because that ain't no fun to live like that. Right. And so it was interesting. Like, so my response was of this place of great confidence and self-esteem. It's like, no. So my interpretation, so the interpretation of go tell him go fuck himself is you can't have me. Mm-hmm. I'm not yours for the taking. In fact, nobody can have me. Ex-stepdad can't have me. You evil doer cannot have me either. I have done learned my lessons in this life, and nobody, the only one who can have me is my God and me. That is it. Nobody mm-hmm. else. No one else is invited to the have Julie party.
Yep.
That was monumental. Like that moment was the one.
It's a defining moment.
It defined. It very much defined me.
Yeah.
Very much did.
So beautiful.
Take right? a breath Exhausting.
On that. Take a breath on that and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Strickland, host of The Restless Ones. Join me as I sit down with the world's most unconventional thinkers, the leaders at the intersection of technology and business. Leaders like Ted Ross, Chief Information Officer of the City of Los Angeles.
We have a lot of old infrastructure that just comes with a large old urban environment. The idea that 5G is wireless, I mean, once you get your connectivity to the access point, it's effectively a wireless solution, which means that we can deploy and you know, we can expand and contract rapidly. We can run an entire venue, roll out VR wirelessly, roll out communications, you know, do all these huge multimedia aspects that take up a lot of bandwidth and do so completely wirelessly.
The Restless Ones is presented by T-Mobile for Business. Today, T-Mobile is America's largest and fastest 5G network, with over $40 billion invested in their network to supercharge innovation over the next 3 years. See what T-Mobile can do for your business at T-Mobile.com/unconventional. And check out the Restless Ones podcast, available now on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
OpenSignal awarded T-Mobile fastest 5G network based on average speeds. USA 5G user experience report January 2021. Capable device required. Coverage not available in some areas.
Paycom has shared the results from new OnePoll research, and they're a real wake-up call for businesses. Employees are frustrated with the tech they use at work. How bad is it? Judging by these stats, pretty bad. For starters, nearly 70% said they're willing to take a pay cut for tech that's twice as good. You see, employees want to be productive, but are hamstrung by faulty tech, wasting 3 hours a week, almost 20 days a year. That's a shocking loss most businesses aren't prepared for. But if employees had the right tech, 77% of them said they can get more work done faster. With just one login, Paycom's comprehensive technology automates HR and payroll tasks in a single software, reducing the time it takes to do them to just a few seconds. For employers, it streamlines processes, eliminates waste, and automatically measures usage patterns that result in real-time ROI. To learn how Paycom can help restore employee morale and productivity, visit paycom.com/frustrations today. That's paycom.com/frustrations.
And welcome back.
Welcome back to another crazy episode of Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Julie throwing it down.
Throwing it down.
By elf on it. And so, you know, when you heard that, right, because Alex didn't know Bob. Mm-mm. Didn't know Bob in your life. Didn't know.
No, you know, I had not. I think when I was 30, makes sense to me, around the age of 30, I cut him out of my story.
Mm. Oh, I understand that.
Yeah. I wrote him a letter. We were living in Mill Valley at the time, and I wrote him, I mean, it was my early 30s. I wrote him a letter, and I started Bob, not the hat man, Bob. And I wrote him this letter. And the very first sentence was, I am now at the age that you were when you married my mother. And I cannot imagine treating a child the way that you treated me. And that's how it started. And that is how I was able to like not, he was no longer part of my story, right?
Yeah.
So you drew Alex that boundary. Had no idea. I totally drew the boundary.
Yeah.
In fact, I drew the boundary so much, Brenda, if you recall, I said it out loud, of course, this is what happens. I said out loud, I was not making him a part of my story in this book.
That's right. Yeah.
Don't you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I'm like, I'm not giving him any energy, any piece of this. And then this event happened and I had no choice but to write about him, right? Yeah. Because I needed to tell that story. I needed to tell it for all the other little Julies out there who had been abused and all these things that you don't have to live in that the rest of your life. And, but no, Alex didn't know.
Then you own your story. And that's the most healing thing ever, right?
Right.
But
right.
I just want to point out, you know, when Alex got that message that says, tell her my name is Bob, you know that, and you experienced that Bob, I'm sure, was under the influence of darkness.
Had to have been.
Right?
Had to have been.
Because Bob wasn't strong enough or didn't recognize the test to choose the high vibe, to take control and power and choice in the situation. He didn't have that discernment or that ability. And just, you know, I'm imagining alcohol was probably involved somewhere, but that
isn't it normally, right?
And well, it also clouds the ability to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he showed you exactly what it was.
Right.
Right. That was true.
So it seems like he was
in action.
He was very much familiar, I think, with Bob.
Right.
And you know.
And so, you know, we've given you two stories of where people saw the test for what it was worth and, you know, pulled out this other story where someone wasn't clear about the test. But these tests are happening all the time.
All the time. And when you can have the ones that you're truly, listen, there are so many of these.
Yes.
I mean, we could take up the rest of the damn day telling these types of stories, but these were the ones, and why I think these are so important, and I think this is probably the case for both of us, a different version of it, obviously, but it was that transforming from a caterpillar to a butterfly.
Right.
Right? And you know that can't, you know that's got to be painful for the caterpillar, right? You know that is.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Yep.
Because its body's changing. It's literally changing.
It liquefies, right?
Yeah. It's changing form. Right. And you know that has to be painful. And that had to have been a certain case for you of like, you know, you were changing that body into a new one for yourself. And the same for me. Now, my butterfly is a bit of an asshole sometimes, but still
Your butterfly is fierce with boundaries.
My butterfly has a foul mouth, probably tie-dye, you know, but still but that's what it felt like. It felt like I was changing form because it might have been the first time I truly found myself.
Right.
And I had to have evil to do that. So why does evil exist, everybody? Because it fucking has to exist. How else are we able to transform from a caterpillar to a butterfly if we don't have it? How do we know the beauty unless we have the beast? How do we know these things if we don't have that contrast like Brenda talks about? That's why evil exists, everybody.
Right. So we can actually own the part of us that we choose, right? The part that we want to bring forward. Right. And, you know, for that just to go with an analogy from caterpillar to butterfly, for me, bringing in the Christed light, the Christ consciousness, right? Remember, I grew up Catholic. I used to think that Christ was Jesus's last name. That's literally what I thought, right? Because no one talks about it. But Christ consciousness is actually a frequency.
Yes.
Right. So in that moment, the claiming in the face of darkness, claiming that high frequency of ignition that went through my field that disintegrated the darkness, because darkness cannot exist in the presence of a high frequency. Right.
Right.
So that was the caterpillar to transformation to the butterfly.
Right. So. Right. You know, I had that with, as everybody knows, that I grew up Episcopalian, which is Catholic light with alcohol. We still sit, stand, kneel, did all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it was the first time that when I first started kind of clearing houses and I had this moment where I felt, you know, I felt that energy of darkness and I went right into the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that that dissipation happened, right? Because that was that high vibe.
That was a high frequency, yep.
Right? It totally was a high frequency.
And again, in the same way, it was just given to you. It's not like you were thinking, well, hey, when no. I'm clearing this house, I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer. It was, it came to you.
Oh, hell no.
You. Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly so right.
So
exactly
beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I want to get back to this whole events, and because what we're really sharing today isn't really why evil exists. It kind of is, but what we're really sharing are Erskyll lessons. But they are, right? I mean, these are because, like, you know, when I talk about why do we have tests in school, well, we have tests in Erskyll, and we're really talking about Erskyll with this. And I've been asked a lot because obviously I put all my crap in a book and all my laundry, dirty, clean, whatever, in a book. And so I get asked a lot. It's like, oh, do these things still happen to you? Mm-hmm. Like, do you, these happen? I mean, they want more stories, right? Is what mm-hmm. they want. Do these things still happen to you? And I'm like, they don't, because I'm a butterfly. It's like, it doesn't mean butterflies don't have issues, but it's like, I've already transformed. I had my major transformation things for this mm-hmm. happen. And so, because when people are experiencing a lot of this stuff, especially if you get the lesson, I'd be concerned if I still got that, because that means I didn't get the lesson. It doesn't happen anymore right. because I got the lesson.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Nicely put.
So the surprises aren't there.
Yeah.
And the surprises are there when you are supposed to be learning something.
Right. And that's the growth cycle, right? That's
right.
the growth cycle, right?
Right.
Very good.
Yes. I want to, do you mind if I add one other thing?
No. Yeah. You're on a roll.
Am I? Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm a little on fire.
I like it.
Because
I
love the evil shit, obviously. I don't love it. It's
important
one of those,
to talk about.
It's important to talk about.
Yeah.
And I think it's also one of those really hard things in life to conquer, because we all, you know, when we talk so much about ego and first chakra, the fight and flight and da-da-da-da, that's where a lot of this stuff happens, because it's scary. Mm-hmm. And so people can just want to hide under a table. P.S. doesn't work when it comes to evil. They can see you. They can also read your mind. And P.S. they can read.
Yes, they can.
They
can't
can read.
Secret notes. They'll see it.
Yeah. Nope. They see all that shit. Oh, Lord. So
where are you going?
I don't know now. No, I do know. So I just wanted to bring up another thing about why evil exists, because we talked about the Earth School, the lessons, the transformations, caterpillar to butterflies, all of those things. But I also want to give another explanation. And that is that, you know, the universe is balanced, right? What kind of life is it if it were all just light? What kind of life would it be if everything, you know, when I talked about if you didn't have the beast, how would you know what beauty is? Mm-hmm. I think there's a principle to that. But even if you look in the physical world, I think is really interesting. And this is where a little nerdy elf just kind of is popping up.
Love my nerdy elf.
Love your nerdy elf. Because one thing I think is really interesting, when you look at our planet, you know, we have poisonous plants that grow next to their antidote. And specifically, there is something called jewel weed, which is the antidote to poison ivy, and it grows right next to it. And that's telling you that everything is actually in balance. You just have to know what to look for.
Right. You have to know
and
when
I
to
just
pull it
think
in.
You got to know, right? And so I just think that even if you don't give a shit about what we just talked about, but if you just look at the planet about balance, you can understand why evil needs to exist.
And you don't need to resist it. Mm-mm. Right? You just need to know it's there. Don't, like, a lot of people are like, oh no, it's all love and light and rainbows and unicorns, and I don't like any
and rainbows shooting at the unicorn's butts.
Yeah,
whatever.
There you go. Right? And it's like, no, there is darkness, and mm-hmm. and I don't have to feed it, but mm-mm. I'm not going to put my head in the sand and say I don't want to look at it, and I'm not going to deny that it exists, and I don't have to be afraid of it or lose my power to it either if I'm
right.
paying attention.
Right. And we've talked a lot about not inviting it. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to burn your damn Ouija boards, people. You know, I mean, we've talked about, like, not inviting
it.
We're
going to get DMs on that. Oh, no.
Oh, good Lord. I like the ones that argue with us. Those are my favorite. We get a lot of people, by the way, that argue with us.
Well, we love it. We love it all.
Those are my favorite. I know. I love them so much. I do. It's a little fun. But no, it is. We talk about that. We talk about mm-hmm. not inviting it, you know, but also not being afraid of it and knowing that it's there. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really great point, Brandon.
It's empowering.
I think that it's empowering.
Yeah.
It's like, I know that it's here, because here's the reality. I'm going to relate to fucking keto. I know sugar's out there. I know carbs are out there, but I don't have to invite them in.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Everybody's welcome on that one. I'm not sure after 11 months, everybody's tired of me talking about keto, but I'm going to keep talking about it.
It is your superpower.
It is right now.
And again, what we hope that you take away is knowing that when you make a choice, whatever choice it is, right? We're not telling you choose a life. We're telling you you can. But knowing when you get tested, whatever it is, that you know ahead of time who you are and what you're going to choose.
And if you make a dumbass decision and choose the dark, don't call me because I clean up enough people's messes that are by accident. But if you do it on purpose, do not call me to clean up your shit. You got to clean it up yourself. That's
if
all I'm going to tell
you. If you do choose the dark, I would just remind you, you can always make another choice.
You can make another choice. Exactly. You can actually make another choice.
So
exactly.
With that, thank you so much for listening. And remember, our school is hard.
Without the other side.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for joining us, everyone, and a special thanks to our producer, Maya Cole, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at OtherSideGuides or shoot us a note at OtherSideGuides@iHeartRadio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think, we want to know what you know, and we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.